Okay, let's prepare ourselves for morning of worship together, and have a lot we need to get done, and so let's begin with the word of prayer, purpose of the prayer. You've made the effort to get here, so you want the time to count in the angelic conflict, so let's test ourselves to see if we're in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your plan. First of all, Heavenly Father, every believer in the church age is in full-time Christian service, which means we're all in the battle. This has never been the case before. Every believer is in need of the Holy Spirit. Every believer is in full-time battle. So, Father, we thank you for providing us with this armor. And now, Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Okay. I'm glad some of y'all... I guess y'all hide out there and let me think, boy, nobody's going to be here, and then y'all all come in. All right? We're going to sing a well-known hymn. I thought, well, it would just be a few. So we'll sing one that most every one of you know, and you're probably tired of it, but it's a beautiful hymn, and it's well worth us singing together. 448, Because He Lives. Let's stand and sing all three verses. Okay, let's talk about some prayer. And let's see. Thomas, how you doing? How's work going?
It's gotten me busy.
Good answer.
And is there any other prayer that I'm not aware of? Yes, I see that hand. Where is that?
Yes.
Well, it's got a big praise report. Well, first of all, you got to understand that God's planning is, His timing is perfect. And what happened was, we've been getting the emails that IX web hosting that we actually have as a remote server in Columbus was moving to Site 5. It turned out that they couldn't move ours because our three domains are way too big. So they actually assigned us to HostGator. And HostGator called me at the office, that's 2 days ago, I believe, out of the blue. Said, hey, you're going to be turned off on the 28th of August if you don't do anything about it. So I was like, well, what's the deal I can have? So they gave me a different quoting price and all. And I don't know why I prayed about it, and a split second I said, okay, let's sign up with them for now, for 3 years, in the contract, and I baked in everything I possibly could to make sure that it's not going to disrupt our server, including all of the moving service and everything, and then set it up. They're going to do everything. And I went ahead and paid for that, and then texted Jim about what was going on, and said, at least, you know, it saved us for 3 years before we go look for something else. And it turned out that I did some research yesterday, and they are actually ranking number 4 right now as the best service that we can actually have. They are actually cheaper than the top 10 ranking than anybody else. It's still a lot of big jump for us, but we will get the dedicated server. We get twice more bandwidth than what a normal price would be anywhere else. Even IBM couldn't match this. Yeah, and IBM was charging like 3 times more for what we're getting. So we will be able to even do the live stream broadcast. We got 2 terabyte bandwidth, which is in the market. Usually you only get like 800 or, one terabyte max.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
Well, all of our people that do tune in, be able, no problem to them.
Right.
Good. Good.
It's a price for everybody. Thank you.
Good. Any other prayer requests? And yes.
Patricia, who's still in Indianapolis, is going to have another surgery procedure on Wednesday.
Who?
My wife, Patricia.
She's going to have surgery?
On Wednesday. A little day surgery.
Up there?
No, down here. She'll be back home.
Okay.
She's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah. So pray for safety.
She's coming back and then safety for the surgery. All right, surgery's Wednesday? All right. Okay. Please be in prayer for Pat. Surgery Wednesday. My wife goes into surgery Wednesday. Who else wanted to get out of Wednesday night's class? All right. Let's see. Okay. This weekend, Lorna had a wonderful experience, and I'm going to just have her just tell us a little bit about what happened with her brother.
Share with us, please.
I just got back from Washington, D.C. yesterday. I was there for my brother's retirement ceremony for 20 years in the Army, and my sister and I flew up together, and my mom and dad drove with my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew up there. And they all made it back home last night, so my brother's back in Texas.
Good.
So we praise God for all the answered prayers for that, and everyone gets home safely. They had 2 flat tires, blowouts, all kinds of stuff going on, so rain and traffic jams, and made it back home about 11 o'clock last night. But
what kind of service do they do?
For retirement?
Yeah.
It was beautiful, and so my brother, for those of y'all that know my brother, you know, he planned his own, kind of like James doing his own funeral service. And my brother doing his own retirement. So about a week out, my brother's boss said to him, hey, I'm going to be your guest speaker at your retirement. My brother has planned this for a couple months. But anyway, my brother looked at him and said, if I wanted you to speak at my retirement, I would ask you. My mom's like, hold it together. You got a little bit more. It was a beautiful service. Of course, his sister is so proud, and his family, but he brought so many people up to the front of his retirement to thank. and just spent time honoring them and for their service and just thanking them for their support of them. It was incredible. He had a sergeant major come up from Richmond that they had served together in Okinawa with, that had been my brother's mentor, and just a beautiful relationship with him. And just my brother's faith, the benediction, the invocation was just incredible, and he just got to handle all that. And it was an honor to be a part. And my sister and I ended our trip with a trip to Mount Vernon, George Washington. So just want to tell y'all, it's just going back to our foundation of our history and where we were, and
that's what I wanted to hear. Okay. I don't know. We don't normally do this. Somebody's going to leave. But this next week, a week from today, this morning, Catherine and her sister will be going back to Greece. Let's just give them a hand for being here. We love y'all. Glad you being here. And y'all are coming back next year, right? Up for camp, right? And you're going to come to camp. All right, good. We got two already signed up for next year. All right. Okay. Any other announcements or things? Let me just encourage you. People, I've been, this is very serious. Now's the time to pray for camp. These kids have come to camp. They've learned. They've been taught some things. Pray. God, the Holy Spirit, will convict, bring back to mind, cause them to understand things that they have learned. Now's the time to really hit every one of these kids with prayer. I really mean it. I believe in this. So please, every day, just a couple of seconds of your day, pick out something to be in prayer for these young people. And I dare say, it's not too early to start praying for 2019, is it? No. So,
a lot of decisions need to be made.
So, please be in prayer for those that will make the decisions. Please be in prayer for this year's camp, this year's kids. Pray that Catherine and her sister get home to Greece safely and come back next year safely. All right. Now, after class this morning, Judith and I are going over to Temple Shalom. They're having a Isaac's having a very important meeting over there, and Robbie Dean's one of the speakers, and so I'm going to wear my mask. I'm part Jew, so I have a right to wear it. And I'm going to wear my Hanukkah and enjoy the rest of the day over there. So that's what this is for. So
Yarmulke.
What did I say?
Hanukkah.
No, Yarmulke.
It's all the same.
All the same. You knew what I was talking about. That's it.
Martha said a Jew would know that.
Nice. Okay. The word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. People, we're a small assembly with a giant of opportunity. The missionaries, young people, internet, right here, we have a lot of responsibilities. Now, it's August the 12th. August the 12th. Put on your calendar, please, Wednesday night, October the 10th, please plan on whatever you normally do on Wednesday night to be here. Bill and Pat Risley will be here. Courtney's coming. It's going to be a wonderful night. And please be here. And they're coming to worship with us. Give us some reports. And so let's have a good attendance for the Risleys on October, the Wednesday night, October the 10th. So please bear that in mind. All right, with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity and the challenges that you've given to us. The internet, especially the young people, missionaries. Father, we pray you'll guide us in getting out a few publications and 34 things and spiritual love according to your plan. All these things take money in Satan's world. Therefore, Father, we pray you receive the offerings that we're about to give. We continue to use this assembly in spreading the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, anyone not have the handout, Gentleness in Adversity? Anyone not have it? Oh, no. Gigi, thank you. Can't believe the pastor's wife didn't get one. All right. Does everyone have one? Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit. He's the teacher. Gentleness is not what it sounds like. It's in adversity. It's in troubled times. So let's be in prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to the truth of this word, this virtue, that should characterize us in our life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of Scripture, the truth of one thing, this one virtue, that should characterize our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I'm going to jump ahead and just tell you, gentleness is primarily designed for adversity, conflict, trouble in a marriage, in a family, church, work, social life, your life. That's when gentleness is needed. So let's begin with that understanding so that we can develop our flow. Nearly every commentary that I looked at, and I, my opinion, I look at just the best or the best in languages, and they just rush right through these. I'm taking our time, people. We've been in verse 12 a long time, and I know that. But people, this is important. This is where you live. You don't live, and we studied election. We studied how you are holy. Studied how you're beloved. That's how you live. That's who you are. This is how you're supposed to live. This is like going to a bookstore and looking for the self-help books. That's what this is. So we're going to take our time on these things. And I'm devoted 1 hour, just one lousy little hour, to each one of these virtues. Each one's worth 2 or 3 hours. Just to give us a grip on what should characterize my life if I'm filled with the Spirit in time of conflict with other believers or unbelievers. So, let's take a look. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, put on, as those who have been chosen of God, doctrine of election, holy and beloved. That's who you are. Now, this is what should characterize you since you are those things. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, and this morning, gentleness. Next week, macrothumia, or patience. Today we're looking at gentleness. This one is going to bother some of you. So, the best way to approach this is by looking at some lexicons for what this Greek word means. The Greek word is praotes. P-R-A-O-T-E-S. From the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament, the numbering is not part of the article. That's mine for our clarity. All right. One, does not denote outward expression of feeling. So let's begin with understanding that. Two, inward grace of the soul, a calmness toward God in particular. So, just jumping ahead, you're in a conflict with a believer. You have trouble with that believer. have trouble situation in people in life, you have your occupation with God. God's in control. God's going to work this out. There's a calmness toward God. Three, it is the acceptance of God's dealings with us, considering them as good, in that they enhance the closeness of our relationship with God. People, when you go through adversity, a husband and wife who truly love each other, and they go through adversity, their bond is even deeper. They grab hold of each other in time of that time. That's what this is about. We grab hold of our need of God, our relationship with Him when we're in adverse circumstances. Or, however, that's right out of the lexicon, praetes encompasses expressing wrath toward the sin of a man as demonstrated by the Lord Jesus, who indeed was called meek, but expressed his anger toward those who were chiding him because he had done good on the Sabbath day. Mark 3:5. This meekness does not blame God for the persecution and evil doings of men. All of this is involved in this word. 6, this is still reading out of the lexicon. It is not the result of weakness. And in the third beatitude, it expresses not the passivity of the second beatitude, but the activity of blessedness that exists in one's heart from being actively angry at evil. 7, according to Aristotle, praetes is that virtue that stands between two extremes, the uncontrolled and the unjustified anger, and not becoming angry at all, no matter what takes place around you. So in between those two extremes is our gentleness. Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 6, known as the Kittle Series, page 645 to 650. In Paul's debate, it didn't take this long to write the sentence, but that whole section is dealing with the word. Okay. In Paul's debate with the Corinthians, it is worth noting that the term praetes occurs twice. Paul had full reason to convey, to speak or write about something with great hostility against the Corinthians on account of their disputations, inclined to dispute or provoking debate and to be controversial, and their arrogance. But he preferred to bring the love of Christ to them in gentleness. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness, our word, of Christ. I who am meek, soft in words, when face to face with you, but bold, strong in words, toward you when absent. Note here that this is a characteristic of Jesus Christ, and therefore should characterize those who say they follow Christ. To begin to grasp the understanding of this word, let's look at Galatians 6:1, and Kit put it in here for us, so you can just look here. Brethren, believers, even if anyone, another believer, is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Let's look at this verse. Brethren, believers, even if anyone, that's a believer, is caught in any trespass. I've told you before, this can be correctly understood in two different circumstances. First, this person is actually caught in a sin. Or it can refer to a believer who is caught up in some trend of sin. You who are spiritual, filling of the Holy Spirit, Blessed understanding of the Word of God. Restore him. Help them to break from the set sin they're actually doing or that they're caught up in. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Only a believer can restore in the filling of the Holy Spirit. The unbeliever is restored from his or her state as an unbeliever to position in Christ. Restored from a position in Adam to a new position in Christ. Such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. This is our word. It enables the spirit-filled believer to control, to correct another believer in sin without arrogance, impatience, or arrogance. Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 6, page 650. In other words, I can't believe you do that. You're pitiful. I just can't believe you do that. You're close to going losing your salvation. No. That's not the Spirit. Not the Spirit at all. You're not pleasing to God. You want to please Him. Let me help you. Let me show you how to get back into the filling of the Spirit. See? Each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Alright. It is important to understand that this is given to every believer when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with gentleness, spoken here of here as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. What I want you to understand here, people, you do not make up a mind, I'm going to be gentle in this confrontation. You make up your mind, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit will flow that gentleness in this situation. It's like kindness. I don't know how this is going to look right now. If I did this in the flesh, this is the way it would look. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust His Spirit to flow through me and put this into me. So, Galatians 5:22, but in contrast to the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's our word. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And that's a beautiful phrase, people. I pray not. But let me tell you something. In 1933, I don't think there was one German in Germany that thought what's going to happen could ever happen in their country. And I believe that. The average German had no idea what was getting ready to happen in 1933 when Hitler resumed power as chancellor. Look what happened. I don't think it's going to happen in America, but let me tell you something, it could. Things are moving in America like you won't believe. At Fort Bragg, they want to take a man, they brought him in to be a chaplain, to the Christians. Not the Muslims, not the Mormons, Christians. They have the other chapels for the other ones. They're having a seminar, a weekend seminar, for married people. Same-sex married people. He said, I can't go. I can't do this. The commander of the base wants him put in prison. Not only lose all of his military qualifications, put him in jail. That's where we're headed. So, need to be in prayer for this country. Be in prayer for our president, our vice president. It's not a nice time in American history.
So, Herman, can Satan blind a people?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's what he did in Germany.
Okay, so after Kristallnacht and the Nazis took power after that action, did Satan blinded 40 million Germans?
Absolutely. I believe that. He wanted one objective. Get rid of the Jews. To get rid of the Jews, there were Germans, Gentiles, who were friends of the Jews. He had to persuade them. Yes, the Jew is the enemy. Yes, he can blind and deceive. He's the father of lies. Okay, the fruit of gentleness is our word. Okay, all of these can be counterfeited in the energy of the flesh. But we are spiritually profited only when they flow from us from the power of the Holy Spirit. He produces, He, the Holy Spirit, produces them, and then we're rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for allowing the Holy Spirit to pour His fruit into us and through us. That's a good deal. He does the work, I get the reward. Good deal for me. See? Now, what is this gentleness that is characteristic of Jesus Christ and that the Holy Spirit pours into us when we're trusting in Him? One, this is something that goes on in your mind, first of all. Remember, the mind is the battlefield. This goes on in the mind. It is a thought process. We saw last week how humility is a mindset where we examine ourselves in reference to God and to Jesus Christ. Well, gentleness is also a mindset, a way of thinking toward God and about God. Not toward these people, but about God and toward God. Secondly, people, this is not easy. I looked at a lot of books and I could not find very many. The commentaries went through this stuff. I want you to understand what these things are expected of us if you're filled with the Spirit. Two, do not misunderstand this word by its designation, gentleness. It is based on correctly understanding righteousness and unrighteousness. It knows what is sin, what is an abomination to God, what is evil in the human race. Three, knowing these things about unrighteousness causes various responses in the souls of believers. We can be prone to being very angry toward these and toward those who practice these unrighteous acts. This morning, 9:15 class. We're studying, if I had faith to remove mountains. You know what that means? If I have faith to remove insurmountable objects. And we went and looked at James and John, the beloved disciple of our Lord. And they didn't want to move a mountain. They had the faith that they could remove an entire Samaritan city that refused to let Christ come in. That was their response. Not, Lord. Let your Spirit convict them and change them, give them repentant soul. Not even, Lord, let's go around that city. They were so loyal to Jesus Christ. Let us just pray and bring down fire and wipe out the whole city. They believed they could do it. They had faith to move an insurmountable object, a city of people. So people, we've got to understand, that's not the proper attitude. So let's take a look. Because we know better, we can also become very arrogant that we do not practice what they're practicing. And we can become most impatient toward those who do, who will not quickly abandon these horrible sins of unrighteousness. Here is where gentleness comes in. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do not lash out at them. We do not become angry toward them. We do not become impatient with them. Instead, we express the righteousness of God to them and how what they are doing is not in keeping with the righteousness of God, and even warn them of impending dangers of continuing such a lifestyle from the wrath of God. Let's say someone is an adulterer, a fornicator, a Muslim, homosexual, habitual liar, alcoholic, on and on and on. Because of gentleness of the Holy Spirit, we do not react in anger or in disgust, but in righteousness, even righteous indignation. Not going to tolerate it. You've got to understand what this gentleness is. It's not toleration, but it's straightening out with a proper attitude. And four, this is a correct understanding of 1 Corinthians 13 in describing the impact of spiritual love.
Describe righteous indignation when faced with that situation.
Present to them
what they're doing is not according to Scripture. I was at DFW. My wife was coming in from out of the country, and I always get there early. So I went over to buy something, candy, something. And the lady was a Muslim. And we started talking. And I just said, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, well, Christianity and Muslim are pretty close. I said, do you really think so? I said, do you read the Quran? Oh, yeah. Well, what about in the Quran? And I started going through the things. She didn't want to talk anymore. She did not want to talk when I knew what the Quran had to say. She did not. So that was the end of the discussion. I didn't change her, but I let her know, I'm not going to let her get by and say Christianity and Islam is the same. Not nearly. I didn't even get into talking about it politically, but she shut me down and didn't want to talk about it anymore. All right, 1 Corinthians 13:6. 1 Corinthians 13, all the impacts of spiritual, not all, but 9 of the impacts of spiritual love. Does not rejoice, the spiritual love, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. This is also 5. This is also a correct understanding of the application in our lives of 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every believer who leads an unruly life and not according to the teaching which you have received from us. Now you don't do it. I get everything. You just slowly back off. And if they ask you why, then you have to tell them. You have to tell them, your lifestyle is not mine. I want to do what God wants, what the Bible says. This is why I can't do that. I've made my decision about me. It's my old age example with you. Getting close to football season. High schooler spends June and July with his buddies, staying up to 2 or 3, sleeping till 1 or 2, and I know that's for a fact. Eating pizza, and I know that's a fact. Well, it's time now to start getting him ready for football. So he says to his buddies, I'm not judging you. You go ahead and eat pizza till 2 in the morning. I can't do that. I've got other priorities now. And this is my priority. I've got to start getting my body in shape. I got to stop eating pizza all night. I got to get sleep. I got to start exercising. So this is the attitude that we have in this regard. So that we keep away from every believer who leads an unruly life, not according to the teaching which you have received from us. Verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of that person. Do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. It's not about he's going to be put to shame by us running him down. I want to live for Christ. You don't. Therefore, I'm not going to associate. Now, if you want to change, got my hand, let's go. I'll help you. I'll walk with you. I'll stay up with you. I'll cry with you. I'll go through all of that. But if you don't want to, you live your life. I've made my mind what I want to do with my life. You make up your mind what you want to do with your life. At camp, when I was talking to the young people, I said, use this example. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? All of them raise their hand. Now, let's say you meet somebody at school who does not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. All right, is that going to change your view? No. Is that going to change how you think about Christ? No. Is that going to change how you live? No. It's the same idea with somebody who lives in a life that's contrary to Scripture. I've made up my mind where I am. You make up your mind where you are. So, therefore, you live your life. So we are to know, first of all, know the truth. We are to rejoice in truth and not to associate, continue fellowship with those who practice, that is, live a lifestyle that is in opposition to a lifestyle prescribed by God. We're not talking about sins. We all sin. We're talking about a lifestyle. Here is where the fruit of the Holy Spirit of gentleness comes in. How you separate from these believers. because of gentleness in your thinking. You do not become angry at them. You do not start shouting at them, condemning them. You quietly stay away from them. And if they come to you and ask why, they've asked you. Here's where you give them a soft answer or a strong answer, depending. You quietly share with them the Word of God and point out to them that they have chosen a life to live a lifestyle that is contradictory to that which you choose to live. You may make it clear that you are not perfect, but your lifestyle, your mindset, is to live a life pleasing to God. You do not hate them. You're not even angry at them. You simply prefer to associate with those who strive to live a life pleasing to you. Friends. Very important in our study at camp this year. You don't pick friends. Or you don't be picked as a friend. You pick your friends. Don't be picked. Do the picking. Friends are very important. I even told them that where they will be 10 years from today depends on two things. Their attitude toward the Word of God and their friends. If they choose to have friends where Christ is not important, church is not important, studying the Word of God is not important, it will not be important to them. So that's the decision that people make about their friends. And if they are inclined, you will be more than happy to help them come out of that lifestyle and live a life pleasing to God, where there is inner peace, inner joy from the Holy Spirit. This is also correct understanding, application of Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one, look in yourself, so you will not be tempted. Tempted to what? Tempted to become judgmental, angry, impatient, self-righteous. Let me tell you something about judging. Don't ever think that we're not supposed to judge. You do the 2 Thessalonians passage. Are you not judging how they're living and how you're living? The judging thou shalt not judge is where you give the condemnation to it. But people, we're supposed to look and observe how other people live. We're supposed to look how I live, how we live. We're supposed to make judgment about our own selves. Every time before we take communion, you've got to judge yourself. See? And do it correctly. But it doesn't mean to add the condemnation that God adds. But don't think for a moment we're not to evaluate and to notice others and how they live. Don't be naive. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Now the Greek says, caused by their sin pattern. Caused by their sin. Thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? According to Romans 8:2, James 1:25 and 2:12, it is learning to live under the law of liberty. But even this comes with warning. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. And remember, I love Whitaker Chambers. Freedom is a need of the soul. Now, you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another in love. Okay? Sometimes I think we forget how important the freedom we have in Christ really is. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom, that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Whitaker Chambers describes the need of freedom. Freedom is a need of the soul and nothing else. One of the reasons that God made gentleness a part of the richness of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that it is often so difficult for some believers to realize just how difficult it is to change one's life. From sinner to saint. From Muslim to Christianity. From homosexuality to straightness of life. From anything else to Jesus Christ. It's difficult. Again, Whitaker Chambers best describes what we're asking these people to do. Please listen. Tragedy occurs when a human soul awakes and seeks in suffering and pain to free itself from crime, violence, infamy, even at the cost of life. The struggle is a tragedy, not the defeat or death. That is why the spectacle of tragedy has always filled men not with despair, but with a sense of hope and exaltation. The book Witness. Repentance. What's repentance? People don't ever play that word down. You're calling on someone to make a drastic orientation to their way of thinking. A Jew has hated Jesus, hollered for him to be crucified, witnessed him being crucified, and then Peter comes along in Acts and Paul, change your whole thinking and repent. Repent. You're asking them to change their whole thinking about this man Jesus. It's not easy. It's painful. Often painful. Often difficult. Help them make this change. Give them information. The thing about repentance, it deals with information and painful change of thought brought about by this new information. It's a very difficult thing. All right, point six. But there is another circumstance of gentleness, the very opposite of the one we've been examining. Church history is saturated with persecution and filled with martyrs who took their suffering in the strength of God and the absence of anger toward their persecutors. During the persecution of Christians in Lyon's Gaul, modern day France, while Christians were tortured on August the 1st, 177 AD, the people roared for the blood of Christians. Quote, the torturers placed some Christians in stocks. They placed others in red hot iron grills. After torture, they took some of the Christians to the amphitheater for wild beasts to devour. As the crowd watched, among that group was a slave girl, Belinda, Lenina, who had already endured every imaginable torture and cruelty. She was suspended on a stake and exposed in nakedness to wild beasts. Because she appeared to be hanging on a cross, she inspired the other Christians. When they looked at her, they were reminded that Christ was crucified for them, and that everyone who suffered for Christ's glory would enjoy eternal fellowship with Him. In the midst of her pain and suffering, Blandina cried out, I am a Christian. There is nothing vile done by us. Although the crowd detested the Christians, they had to admit they had never seen a woman endure so many terrible tortures. She died, listen to this, comparing her death to marriage, since she was indeed going to meet her bridegroom, Christ. This is in Christianity.com. Okay. As we have been gentleness is the acceptance of God's dealings with us, considering them as good in that they enhance the closeness of our relationship with Him. These martyrs in Lyon in AD 177 did not shout out obscenities to their persecutors, but they directed their thinking to their relationship with the Lord. See what I'm saying? They didn't think of those that were persecuting them. They thought of their pain and their relationship with the Lord. A more modern example in this situation of gentleness is the life and sufferings of Richard Rembrandt at the hands of the communists. For 14 years, he kept on praying for his torturers. Here again, Whitaker Chambers, life is not worth living, for which a man is not prepared to die at any moment. That's powerful, people. And God, through the Holy Spirit, has given to every believer the attitude of gentleness, only through the Holy Spirit, when his freedom or life is in jeopardy. We should be ready at any moment to give a defense for our beliefs. 1 Peter 3:14, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Not suffering because of sin, but suffering for the sake of righteousness, is the illustration just given. And do not fear their intimidation. I talked to these young people this week, under unbelievable intimidation. The homosexual world, the idolatrous world we live in, they can intimidate you, where you'll back off. Just don't take your stand anymore. Just, okay. No, don't be intimidated, Scripture says. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled by it. But sanctify Christ as Lord. Where? In your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense. That's where we get the word apologetics. To make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Why do you believe the way you do? Why do you stand the way you do on adultery, homosexuality, fornication, being promiscuous, going to church, respecting your mother and your father? We've got to be able to give a defense. We've got to be able to, here's why. Let me show you in the Bible. You ask, I'll answer. The word gentleness is in the domain of our word, meaning this starts with an inner mindset, but expresses itself by not lashing out in anger or impatience or arrogance toward those to whom you are giving a defense. 7. The Holy Spirit will not always give us the mindset of gentleness, will not always give us a mindset of gentleness in the patience of rejection of God's plan. The case in point, Jesus Christ himself. Mark chapter 3. He, Jesus Christ, entered again into the synagogue at Capernaum, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They, the religious crowd, were watching to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. They want to see if he would heal this man so they could accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to him, said to them, the religious crowd, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. They didn't want to answer him. After looking around at them with anger, okay, this is the opposite of gentleness, but orge, as we have it here, is also a mental attitude toward unrighteousness. The problem here is that this can be a sin. It doesn't have to be a sin, but it can be a sin. It can be righteous indignation. You ask about that? Here's a good example. It's anger. Can be a sin, but anger can also be righteous indignation. Aristotle says that orge anger is desire with grief. And note the next word in our passage. With anger. Grieved, that's what Aristotle said it was, grieved at their stubbornness of heart. He said to them, to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out his hand, and it was restored. Note carefully, this is going on in the soul of Jesus Christ. It is his mindset, not followed up by action toward the religious crowd. Verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians, Jews against Jesus, and for Rome, against him, Jesus Christ, as to how they might destroy Christ. Shut him up. Get rid of him. And people, that's what they want to do with Christians today. They want to shut us up, close down our books, close down our churches, call this kind of teaching we're doing this morning hate crime. Hate. It's not hate. It's love of Christ. Hate toward immorality that would harm this country. 4:8. We have seen that gentleness is a mental attitude process that does not lash out at others, but seeks to help others if they desire the help, but offered without being angry or impatient or arrogance. We have seen that gentleness accepts all that happens to them as from God for their own good, but their own persecution, meaning martyrdom. But we must add to this that this gentleness from the Holy Spirit does not blame God for suffering from the world or from their own failures. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of gentleness that does not blame or attack God. And while we're here, look at James, look at verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. And a mental attitude of gentleness helps every believer to persevere when under trial. For once he has been approved by God, not by man, he will receive the crown of life when the Lord has promised to those who love him. Judgment seat of Christ, which we've well studied. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I know you want the rapture, but just are you ready for the day after the rapture? Because right after the rapture, you stand before Christ. This crown is received at the judgment seat of Christ. So beside all the benefits of gentleness in your life, in your marriage, in your local church, and so on, gentleness also helps to receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, at which every believer must stand after the rapture. Here's your part 9. Gentleness is absolutely necessary in getting along with one another. Husband, wife, parent, child, cousins, sisters, brothers, on and on and on. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, Paul, prisoner of the Lord, mental attitude of humility from the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't want to be a slave. We're slaves to the Lord, people. Implore you to walk, live in your daily life, in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness. This is beautiful. Here are the same two words we have in Colossians 3:12. Humility and gentleness. Both these words describe a mental attitude that every believer is to put on in their souls and cannot be accomplished in the flesh, but demand being fulfilled in the power of the Holy Spirit for it to be acceptable to God. You'll recall that humility is an attitude in which you compare yourself with God or with Jesus Christ, not with other humans. Gentleness is a mental attitude toward God and your relationship with God. What is so important here in the context in our interrelationships with other believers, this starts at home, between our husband and wife, family, parent and children, and moves from the family to the local church, to work, your social life. Don't let anyone deceive you. It's tough to get along with other believers, especially closest to you, and those whom we expect goodness from in the local church. Remember, familiarity breeds contempt, and that's the true people. These believers will let us down at home, at church, at work, in life in general. We expect more from believers. They're going to say things, they're going to do things, and not do things that will cause our flesh nature to rise up in antagonism, even anger, impatience. Remember, familiarity breeds contempt. So, it is no accident that Paul, in striving at peaceful unity between believers, stresses humility and gentleness. This Greek word is used primarily in context of adversity, conflict, suffering. That's why I gave it the title, Gentleness in Adversity. People, there are going to be people in any assembly where you're going to encounter someone whose personality just rubs you the wrong way. Hopefully you learned that through elementary and junior high school. But most of us didn't. You go into a church and you expect everyone just to be like you. Well, it isn't going to happen. There are going to be people in a church, you're just not going to like the way they are. You're not going to like the way they dress, the way they look, the way they sing. See? Just not going to like their personality. Not to mention their sin pattern, which you may or may not know about. There are going to be people, other believers, who you know are saved in the plan of God, beloved by God, but in your flesh nature is aroused every time you see them. Oh, there they are. I see them getting out of their car. It's going to be a lousy Sunday. You've just cut off your own spirituality for that Sunday, that worship service. So what are we to do? I know. Change churches. Ha! You know the funny thing there is? When you change churches, you're going to run into that same person with a different face at that new church. They'll follow you wherever you go. They're there. They're just always there. Every church has them. It's like they're there. God put them there just to antagonize you. See? You can't get away from them. See? Decide not to marry. And get a job working on your computer at home or in a library with books and become a hermit. I got news for you. God, Satan, will put a thorn in your flesh. I love the kid about Paul. He did not marry. He did not go into any major business. So God said, you think you got, I got a thorn, I'll put in your flesh, boom. So a thorn in his flesh. You don't get away from it. Learn how to handle it. That's growing up spiritually. See? Well, what are we supposed to do? Under these circumstances, how can we preserve peace and unity? God the Father's ahead of you. He has supplied you with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and He has made two of the fruits of the Spirit, humility and gentleness. So, Ephesians 4:1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance toward one another. Isn't that interesting? Talking about in an assembly what we have to do. Show humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance. Not with the world. Not with all those Muslims out there. Not with all those adulterers out there. But in the assembly. This is where it's needed. Gentleness. Patience. Tolerance of one another. I'm not fooled. I'm not everyone's pastor. And I appreciate and I'm thankful to God for those of you that really don't like my teaching. But you know it's truth. And you know you're going to get truth. And you know I've done my work. And you know the Holy Spirit's led me. So, you'll come. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful. I know you'd rather have somebody that's more elegant, more dynamic, whatever. A Joel Osteen. Wouldn't it be great to have him teach the truth? See? And you're all going to hell if you don't believe in Christ. That's terrible. Smile when you're telling people they're going to go to hell? That's terrible. See? People, this is where we need it. Yes?
In my notes, when you, in the quote that you just said with showing tolerance for one another in love, But then earlier you said specifically, because of the gentleness, we do not react in anger or disgust, but in righteousness, but that is not the same as toleration. So, that was...
Okay, different circumstances call for different readings from the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't know what kindness is going to look like every time. What is kindness? What am I going to give this person a kindness at work today, at church today? What is my wife going to need when I come home? What's my husband going to need when he comes to the door? What is kindness going to look like? I don't know. Sometimes it'll be this, sometimes it'll be that. What does gentleness look like? Sometimes it'll be righteous indignation like Jesus Christ. Sometimes it'll be done in gentleness, in a soft word. It just depends on the circumstances. That's why it's absolutely necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pour His way into us as to what He would have us to do. Now, continuing, showing tolerance for one another. And yes, this refers to one another of the same kind, other believers, in your home, in the church. People will, from time to time, just get on our nerves. In some cases, it is the same person all the time. This is when it really is tough. Showing tolerance. The Greek word is a picturesque here. Holding back. As it's the holding back of rain. Holding back from coming down. So the gift of the Holy Spirit causes us to hold back anger, resentment, jealousy, antagonism. That is aroused from our flesh nature. So we immediately, see, what's happened is your flesh nature reacts, the Holy Spirit pours in something to counter what the flesh nature is doing. He pours in humility and gentleness. So we immediately get back into the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. The moment you sense that, the moment you say, oh, there they are, oh, boy, man, it's not them, it's me. It's not their fault, it's my fault. Get back to the filling of the Spirit. Get back to thinking about your relationship with the Lord. Are you always so wonderful to Jesus Christ? Quit thinking about them. So, we immediately get back into the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, and He will pour into our souls, into your thinking, a correct thinking about yourself, your relationship with God, and your relationship with others. Because of my relationship with Him, I love you this way, the way He loved me. See, that's the idea. But little sarcastic remarks like, I don't see how God could love them. People, that isn't going to help you. That isn't going to cause spiritual love to flow through you. Just cut those little sarcastic remarks out. See? They're not funny. They're damaging. See? They're damaging. See? What makes you so wonderful that God should love you? Back to gentleness when confronted with other believers in you're trying to please God and maintain peace between believers. With all humility and gentleness, with patience. Oh, you're going to love this one next Sunday morning. Macrothumia. Beautiful word. We're going to have a wonderful study. I'm sorry you girls are going to miss it. We'll send it to you. All right. This is the first characteristic of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Isn't it interesting? The first impact of love is suffering. And your suffering is long. People, there is no such thing as a love that doesn't suffer. Look at the Old Testament. Read the Old Testament and see how God's love is long-suffering. He forgave, He kept blessing, and they just kept throwing back in His face. They kept going into idolatry. And the same thing is true of marriage love. It's going to be tested. How long-suffering is your love? There's no such thing as a perfect Hollywood type of love. It doesn't exist. Love is going to suffer. Question? How long will your love suffer? Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with long suffering, showing tolerance for one another, that is in spiritual love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we want here. Maybe we want to get, just for an example, the internet done. We want to get Tampa 2019 done. We want to get things done in this assembly. Communion, study the Word of God. We want to get missionary activity done. We can't be fighting with one another. Who feels like giving any money if you're angry at everybody else in the church? You don't feel like it. Think about your relationship with the Lord, the task that is to be done. That's what we think about. Being diligent. This refers to you. You being diligent. The Greek word means just that. Being diligent, which means you make every effort to remain in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. You're not occupied with that other believer so much as you are conscious of your responsibility with the Lord to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Many local churches have been tormented by struggles between believers. If we abide in the Holy Spirit, we will handle problems with others in the assembly by a mental attitude of gentleness. And the same applies in the family. Point 10. We are to pursue gentleness. 1 Timothy 6:11. But flee from these things, you man of God. Remember, you're of God. And pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. How do you pursue these virtues in the Christian life? By pursuing staying in the Holy Spirit. Point 11, gentleness is necessary for the pastor-teacher. There's a verse, I couldn't pass it up. 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's bondservant, pastor-teacher, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. People, I failed here. I'll admit it. In my 45 years, I've been pressed. I blew it. Not often, but I know the times I have. But we're not supposed to. Must not be quarrelsome. Be kind to all. Able to teach. Patient when wronged. Spiritual love does not take into account when wronged. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Opposition, antagonism, confrontation. That's what gentleness is needed. Once again, the context of the Greek word is in the midst of controversy, difficulty. The pastor-teacher is not to be arrogant or angry or impatient with those in the assembly, but is to maintain a mental attitude toward God of his responsibilities and realize that he cannot control anyone as to how they think. So, and by the way, neither can you. So in gentleness, he corrects their thinking with the Word of God. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth. Point 12, I'm not gonna preach away on the pastor. Let's leave that for my own office. Right, point 12, the pastor teacher is to teach how to get along with others. Titus 3:1, remind them. Oh, I love this. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Repeat. Remind them. Remind them. Over and over and over. To be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient. Respect all authority, their parents. To be ready for every good deed. To malign no one. To be peaceable, gentle. This is our word, gentleness. Showing every consideration for all men. Gentleness is a characteristic of Jesus Christ, and therefore, if you wish to imitate Christ, we are to love as he loved, with humility and with gentleness, especially in controversies, difficulties, in our actions with one another. Please remember, you do not make a decision to characterize your life by gentleness. You make a decision. Trust His Spirit. His Spirit will pour this gentleness into us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Ladies, we've been so happy to have you all from Greece. Hate to see you leave. We will be in prayer for a safe trip. Father, we just thank you for this assembly. We thank you that we can come here fellowship, laugh, enjoy each other, study your word, sing, though that may leave something to be begged for, giving an offering, and minister to young people, missionaries, to one another. We just thank you for this assembly. Pray, Father, your Spirit could use what we study this morning to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior friend. Amen.